Mini episode 634 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 633. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo episode 2.5, titled The Gift of the Magi. Here's our top five developments from episode 2.4 heading into this installment. Number five, the two big plots of the season are now fully underway. After Rye's impromptu murder spree in the diner, Peggy and Ed have had to keep the secret of her hit and run that immediately followed. Perhaps earlier than anticipated, their actions are now known to the Gerhardts and also to Lou. And the gang war that's been foreshadowed all season long is officially underway, as Floyd's decision not to surrender after Kansas City fired the first shots was a foregone conclusion. Was war inevitable after Dodd's provocation in the donut shop? Probably, since the big city sharks cared little for the sentiment and need for respect preached by Floyd as she sought a compromise, and they knew that Dodd would remain a loose cannon. But we're all in now with the bloodshed promised by this conflagration and the effective end of Peggy and Ed's cover-up. All of a sudden, the butcher has bigger fish to fry than his wife's duplicity regarding the money to buy the shop and her taking the pill surreptitiously and Constance constantly undermining him. Number four. In the episode that proved that the center could not hold, Lou, as the moral center of the program, never felt so alone. His ability to deny Betsy's medical fate is slipping, just as his faith in humanity is doing likewise. Malevolent forces in the form of the Gerhardts and the Kansas City mob are going to war, and will converge in his corner of the universe now that the fate of Rye has become a quasi-open secret. Every Fargo protagonist has to work through disbelief and despair about ugliness in the modern world, but Lou is different in that he carries with him wartime memories and the deterioration of his idyllic family life. Now that his warning to Ed and Peggy to come clean has gone unheeded, his ability to protect them has withered away, and they will be the bait for further horrors to come. Number three. Good thing for Ohanzi that the Fargo universe was so cooperative with him. There's been precious little to quibble with the writers about this season, but Dodd's Native American enforcer couldn't have had everything laid out for him more clearly, such that suspension of disbelief was getting a little bit difficult. First of all, he was able to peruse a crime scene completely unimpeded, able to grab items to help his own private investigation. Then he just stumbles on the car shop servicing Peggy's ride, where he investigates further, takes the mention of Ed's name to learn all about he and Peggy, including where they live, then breaks into their home and finds Rye's burnt clothing in the fireplace along with a belt buckle. Okay, then. The complete unraveling of Peggy and Ed's story at this point in the season does feel rushed, and the onus will be on the writers to redeem the hot-shotting utilized in ending that chapter of the story. And don't get us started on Ohanzi being the latest to have a momentary fascination with a UFO. There still seems little chance that this season turns into some sort of cheesy sci-fi abomination, but the inability to rule this out altogether is troubling. Number two, the negotiating scene between Joe and Floyd was perfectly tense and gripping, framing the scope of the explosive conflict to come. Joe's not the boss of the KC mob, and Floyd's a new, reluctant leader, but both of them looked like pure alpha dogs in representing their sides in the sit-down. They're extremely formidable, and while Joe's got the early edge thanks to the Gerhardt family mole and the element of surprise, keep in mind that this battle is going to be fought in the Dakotas and Minnesota. For a show that loves invoking the Vietnam War as much as Season 2 Fargo has, the analogy of Kansas City forces as the United States military and the Gerhardts as the Viet Cong, able to launch ambushes from territory that they know by heart, is unmistakable. This war is far from over. Number one. Our speculation last week about Simone possibly becoming a thorn in her father's side turned out to be a huge understatement. While the phrase finger-licking good should never apply to her post-coital activities, Dodd's daughter mixed the business of vengeance with the pursuit of pleasure in truly enterprising ways, and she looks to get thrust to the forefront of this season very shortly. She won't be happy about her grandfather's protectors getting gunned down thanks to her information, with the expansion of hostilities being directed well beyond her daddy. She merely thought that she was boxing out Dodd and cementing a merger that wouldn't involve him. Instead, she's going to remain trapped in the role as a spy for Mike Milligan's crew since she needs to keep her betrayal secret. Simone is only going to get deeper and deeper into this mess as it continues to evolve. The end of Peggy and Ed's secret has now coincided with the creation of a new one that is actually bigger and far more consequential. Through the first 40% of the season, the Fargo creative team has not been shy about deviating from the path of the expected, and the results have largely been satisfying. We're now into the early part of the second act of this drama, and the tension continues to escalate every week, and we're definitely looking forward to the next part of the story. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.